the instructions. God's instructions to you are life to you. We wonder why people are having struggles. We wonder why they're going through problems. And you also realize that even though you could be walking the straight line with God, you will still have problems. I'm not saying that you won't. We've said that over and over, and so we're not sugarcoating it to the point of, you know, hey, come to God and everything is great. But we find so many people out there that are not following the instructions that God has given them, and when that happens, they veer off course. Some of this was probably coming back to me a little bit of just thinking about last Sunday, sharing of the 10 years of this month for being the pastor here and looking back through some things. And there's still things that I didn't even have time to share last week on things this past 10 years that God has spoke or showed or did and things that I've seen. But that's probably for another time. But I do look back and think of those 10 years of myself, of staying on the course that God had set me on to fulfill. And I don't know where I'm at on that course. Do you know where you're at on the course that God has you on? How far are you along? You know, when are you at the end? You know, when is, you know, what is going on? What's happening next, Lord? Well, you can waste a lot of time trying to find that out. And I believe the Lord would say, you know what? You just stay on this path. Don't look to the right, Tim. Don't look to the left. In these last several years, I've begun to do those things at times, looking left, looking right, trying to figure out, well, is it over here? Is it over there? Is it this way? Is it that way? But I've always had to realize it to the point of saying, no, just keep my eyes upon you, God. Don't let me get ahead of you. Don't let me fall behind you. Don't let me veer off course with you. And some of these things, and just drop back quickly about this mortgage being paid off. Back when the Lord said he would pay it off by outside sources, the last 3 months, something worked within me to say, Tim, maybe you ought to go to the people and say, hey, here's an idea. And I got this from meeting with the pastors and some things that they're doing, and they weren't doing this to pay a debt, but I looked and some churches do it, blah, 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 you know, whatever, how they raise up things. But it was like, you know, when you come to church, when you leave, put a dollar in a basket for every family member that came to church with you today. One family member, a dollar, you know, $2. And those churches do that, and they take it, and some sideline it to an alms to help someone in the community. Others, by going on that website and looking at it, use it for, like, say, a debt reduction or something special within the church. And I thought, maybe that's what it is. Maybe, Lord, you got to kickstart what you told me you were going to do a long time ago. But I always got to this point, and it got to my head, but never got down to my heart to say, well, let's implement it and go with it. There's just something that it's like, that's a good idea. I ought to do that. We ought to try that. Maybe that's what the people will use, you know, hey. But I never fulfilled that, and I think it gets back to within my spirit because the Lord, when he had said I would do it with sources from outside the church, if I stepped into it and said I'm going to do it from within the church, I overstepped my bounds with God. Because when God tells you a specific thing, it's not for you to take it and run and change it to what you want to do. It's to continue on what he's told you he would do. And when he tells you what he's going to do, he'll do it. And I and you and us or whoever and whatever you're going through and whatever God has told you what he's going to do for you, I had my wonderings as you do. But don't veer off the course of what God said he would do. When we do that, we take the glory from him. Because if I had done that, I could sit there and say, hey, we paid off the debt early. But I did it. Or with this plan that was fabricated by man did it. And God will not share the glory with anyone. It's God. And so I look at that and I quickly forward, back forward, or forward, fast forward, reverse, whatever. And I said, I had to stay the course. I had to stay the course of what God told me in my spirit. You today need to stay the course what God has for you to do today, whatever it is. And we find that this, what is a course? Now, I'm not talking about food. Some of you guys going, hey, I like a five-course meal. A course is what? The path or direction that something or someone moves along. We are all moving along the path that God has placed us on. It talks in Proverbs and Psalms about the feet and following the path and, you know, the righteousness and all these things that we walk and follow the path of God and don't stray from that. Set my feet on the path to stay. You know, glory, hallelujah. And so hopefully he doesn't have to reset your feet too many times on that path throughout your life. So then I go, well, that's a course, okay, that's a something or someone that moves along a set path and or going along a course. But then when you hear that, what does that tell you when you say, are you here, stay the course? Stay the course. Have you heard that throughout people in our country and elected officials or military officials when they're going through something, when they're battling something? You know, the odds might be insurmountable. It might seem like it's hard to do. It seems like it's going to take a lot of effort. It seems like it's going to take more than one day. But a lot of times you will hear, and it's kind of like that of a military term where it says, as stay the course, it's a phrase used in the context of a war or a battle, meaning to pursue a goal regardless of any obstacles or criticism. I encourage you today to stay the course that God has placed you on. And you know what? You might have been battling some criticism with that. People, friends, family, criticize you. Are you sure you really know you heard that? Are you sure you know what God's doing? Are you sure you're listening to the right God? Criticism. How about obstacles? You stay on the course that God has you on. There's obstacles that will come your way. The devil loves obstacles. He likes to set you a trap and try to snare you and try to take away the glory that God is going to get when God says, if you fulfill what I've called you to do, if you stay on this path, if you stay focused, if you stay the course with God, there's a great reward. Amen. Now, we look at the great reward and some of the things here upon this earth, but ultimately our reward is that of what? Heaven and eternity. Where you're going to spend eternity. That's the value. That's the thing that we want to shoot for. We don't want to. And how many have possibly strayed off course with what God had for them? How many have strayed off the course of salvation? Do you know of anyone in the last 5 years, 10 years that you knew that you're saying, man, I'm really wondering and concerned about their salvation from where they were at? It wouldn't be surprising to know some people, and hopefully, you know, it's not for us to judge, but I think it is one of those things to sit there and say, I'm kind of concerned. I just wonder how they're doing with the things of God. Why is that? Because maybe their lifestyle is not representation of kingdom. Maybe what they're doing and their actions is no longer representation of a child of God. Maybe what they're saying somehow has got them off to the side of maybe that apostasy that we talked about a few months back. Good people, wonderful people, filled with the Holy Spirit, on the path, on the course to salvation, to run and complete that race that God has before them. And how many maybe do we know that's like we would say, oh Lord, I wonder where they're at with you right now. Now the thing is, when the Lord brings that up to you, I would encourage you to pray for them. Pray for their salvation. Pray for them to, if need be, Lord, you know where they're at. Lord, you know where they're at with you. I just want to make sure, Lord, that they're with you. You know, encourage them. Draw them back to you, Lord. I'm just lifting them up to you, Father. Pray for one another. That's a charge that we have to do. We need to do that as a church. We do that as pastors. Pray for one another as pastors begin to gather. We pray for one another, churches, people. It's great to have other pastors pray for Harvester's Church, isn't it? It's great to have outside influence, outside people come together and rally around a cause. And it's not the cause to make a church bigger and large numbers and a big bank account. It's a charge of praying for the churches in our community to fulfill that kingdom call upon them and what God has placed within our community of all of these churches. I believe, won't it be great when you look at the little community of Afton and there's only two taverns there, and you look around and there's like three churches around. There's not too many communities that have more churches than taverns. And I tell you, they're wanting more liquor licenses in all these big cities. More taverns! So people can drown their troubles. So that's pretty awesome. I think of that with Afton. Wow. Three churches. North, south, and one in the center. But stay the course that God has for you. We as a church need to stay the course that God has prepared for us. Could you believe and could you imagine 35 years or so of staying the course? That's a long time. Some of us back in the early 5 or 10 or 15 years of it would say, Lord, you're taking too much time. You better fulfill this thing now because I want it now. And the old Lord would say, it's not for the time now. It's for a time there that I see, that I have planned for. All I'm asking you, as God would say to the church corporately, as God says to you individually, is to just run the race before you. Run the race with endurance. Go for that prize. Because there is a prize waiting before us. And that is that eternity of being called home. To hear the Lord say, well done, good and faithful servant. Not, well done, pastor with the largest church. It's not, well done, Bill, for having a wonderful family and bank account and five houses around the country and a resort and, you know, all these things. No. It's just, well done, good and faithful servant, as we just serve out our life with what God has asked us to do. No more, no less. Stay the course. Stay the course regardless of any obstacle or criticism. How many here have been criticized for your faith? Anybody? Maybe not criticized, mocked? Like, really? You really believe in that stuff? You one of them? Does that really make you feel better by praying? Okay. In a way, that's kind of criticism. It's kind of mocking. They think you're nuts, don't they? They think like, okay. And they're going, if that's what makes you feel good, go ahead and do it. They don't have the realization or the understanding of the power that is there. Sad that it is. Maybe they'll receive Christ down the road. Could be those that mocked you in the beginning and 5, 10, whatever years later, they come back to you and they go, you know what? You're not going to believe this. But I was somewhere and somebody talked to me and they were kind of like what you were or are. But what they said really hit me and I decided and all of a sudden I go, I became one of you. Well, hallelujah, praise God. Stay the course. Don't turn left or right. So what happens when you veer off of a highway when you're traveling? This kind of comes back a little bit. I've shared some things like this. But as far as little rumble strips on the side that they put on these highways now, that's a blessing, man. That kind of gets you like, who? That's not good to hear that. You know? Especially when you got your spouse with you because they're the ones going, what are you doing? Get over there. Why don't you keep your eyes on the road? Excuse me. I had a wonderful time yesterday. I went down and got my sister and nephew out of Chicago. There's a bridal shower for Micah's fiance today that our family is putting on. And for our side, you know how these things go. But anyway, I went down to get her yesterday, and you know, at about 5:45 in the morning, it was foggy. Anybody out that early? It was fog, man. It's like, where did this stuff come from? Coming around the fields off of Avalon or the 11 bypass and getting on the interstate and some areas throughout the interstate going through. But there was fog. And this message was kind of throwing into me a little bit about, don't veer off. Stay the course, you know. I knew that as long as I stayed on the highway, I knew as long as I stayed between the lines, I knew that I would be okay. But I did have to keep myself focused on what was ahead of me so that I wouldn't run into anybody, you know, when you get into a fog bank. So you have to stay and pay attention, don't you? So I'm paying attention, needing to be alert, but I can be assured that as long as I stay between here and here, I'm pretty well safe that I'm not going to run into a bridge abutment or something, right? You follow those things. Those are signs along the road. Those are things that helps us. God gives you signs along His path as you follow Him. But we know traveling down the highway and what happens when you veer off. What happens? You know, the pilots of a plane, when they don't follow the path. I was looking this up this week and this thing came up. I remember, I don't know how many months this goes back, but it was the Northwest airline pilots. They overshot their airport that they were supposed to go to. They got tied up on both the pilot and the co-pilot. And the pilot, I think, was teaching or training the co-pilot, or one of the other was training the other one, on a computer-type thing that they were learning as a company, on a laptop or something. And here, you know, they're just flying. What do? Well, they got the plane on autopilot. They figure the plane knows where it's going, right? You know, TJ's just come off of a flight overseas. Beth is down in wherever, you know, Australia, coming back there. Eventually, one of these days, you know, this week, I guess, TJ's can't wait. But it's amazing what technology has done for planes, where they can just put them things on autopilot, put the coordinates in, put what they want to do. That thing will keep you on track. It'll keep you on the elevation, attitude, longitude, everything, everything. Altitude, 39,000 feet up. For the most part, when they're up there, the pilots put that thing on, and it's like, hey, I should have brought my phone. Hey, let's go play that Pokemon thing. Don't do that in an airplane. I don't think it'll work. You might jump out. Some of these people are crazy. You guys ever see these? Have you been the last couple of days seeing people walking around up and down sidewalks? You're going, what in the world's on that phone that they're going? And I realize it's that thing of Pokemon. Huh? Pokemon Go. You hear good and bad of that. I myself think it's the enemy. Yeah, a lot of people are saying, well, it's good. It's getting the kids out of the house to get some exercise. Yeah, but they're getting indoctrinated to follow this phone to tell them where to go and what to do and look for something. I just see something bad in that. I see mind-altering things coming out of those things. You know, maybe I'm way out there futuristic. But maybe I'm not too far out there to think that there's other things, reasonings for that. And I was just reading some things online about that, and they're saying, you know, people don't realize the privacy factor that that thing has required out of your phones, that it is actually, when you accept that application or that app into your phone, what it does into your phone, it takes over everything, basically. Your Google, your Gmail account, it can go and do and look and sort out anything at once in your phone. 20 years ago, if you tell somebody that this company or this business or the government could get into these things and track you and tell you exactly what everything's in your phone, you'd say, there's no way. I'm private. I'm not, my goodness, I'm not telling nobody anything. But we as a society are turning over a lot of these things through these little gadgets and phones and all these fun things. And it is not for what we think it is. I believe it's, you know, this is just me off of the Bible now, but I just think there's something more ulterior motives out there. But here again, if you can get people to follow something on this little phone, eventually you will have them just indoctrinated with whatever you want. Now, maybe we ought to come up with an app of, you know, Pokemon Jesus. Let's follow Jesus. Maybe we could do that. Maybe that's a part of the good out of it. I don't know. But we as a society, we can get off so many things in so many ways with material things. I see a lot of those things out there are there to help us veer off the course that God has for us. It sounds so neat, so fun. It's exciting. Hey, let's all do it. I saw over at your apartment, sir, Al and Terry, I was coming down Condi one day, and there's two kids walking up to the front door of your apartment with their phones out like this. And they walked up to the door, turned around, walked back down the sidewalk. Now, I don't know if they got that little guy there and they got some points. I don't know. But they're out there chasing this make-believe thing around. Somebody tacked into it. I think it was in Missouri. And actually had people, adults, kids and all, going into a secluded area so they could rob them. Now, how do they hack into it? I don't know. If man can put it in there, man can hack into it. But they have people following this stupid thing into desolated areas so that they can rob them. It's like, good application. So anyway, there's a lot of things out there in our world that will want you to veer off course with the things what God has for you. But anyway, that plane, I think it flew like 150 miles wrong before they realized. And I think when they landed, all of a sudden it's like, uh-oh. We're at the wrong airport. We're 150 miles further than we're, you know. Could you imagine the people on that plane going, welcome, we got a little problem. It's not our fault they moved the airports on us. It's always somebody else's fault. I think those guys got fired. That was the end of the story. So how do we get off course? You could come up with a zillion ways. How do you stay on course? There's only one way. Stay connected to God and the word that he has for us. Now, remember we referenced, and that was like, you know, Proverbs. One of the things here in the Message Bible, as I look at it, in Psalms 119, it talks here in 1, Psalms 119:1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart. Blessed who walk in the laws of the Lord. The Message Bible brings it this way. It says this, that it says, you are blessed when you stay on course. What is to keep you on course? You know, the instructions, the things that God has given us in his word is to keep us on that course. But the Message says, you're blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. Blessed. Blessed means also happy. Happy are you if you keep yourself set on the road that the Lord has you on. Stay on course. Stay on that road. The key to happiness is doing what? The will of God, which is revealed in his word. How do we stay happy? How do we get joyful? I can't just tell you, be joyful. It takes work, but it takes work by finding out things that, you know, the problems and the things that we see of today are very hard. Two days ago, there's an uprising in Turkey. Now, it's been put down somewhat, I guess, but there's still major things going on in that land of Turkey. Trying to overthrow the government, the military was going to overtake it, they didn't succeed, and now the government stayed in the power, and now they're searching out the guys in the military and leadership there, and I'm sure they're not going to be set for a good place to go. I'm sure once they find them, that's pretty well, you know, out they shoot them or take their heads off or whatever, but they're not, I don't think they're going to send them through a court of law. They will pretty well have quick work with anybody that tried to overthrow the country. But we have that happening. We got situations in America with situations with the things that we've dealt with through Dallas and other agencies and through the things happening in our country. Around the world, there's just so much happening and going on. But I can also say, and I still have within me, joy. How do you have joy? Well, I can't fabricate it myself, but I know that my Lord gives me that joy. And it's not just some little thing, hocus pocus, and here's the joy, but it's the joy in knowing that who I am and what God is all about and what God has asked us to do and what God says in his word by these things in Psalms and Proverbs and encouragement throughout the New Testament and the Gospels and even reading the Old Testament of what God did back in those times. And so I continually find the good things of God and knowing that he can do these things. Now, let's look at a few things here quickly. Hebrews 12:1. The faith. Hebrews 12:1. Then I want to touch upon something else here while we're back there. Let's see if I can find that. In 12:1, it talks about this. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us do what? Lay aside every weight. Lay aside the sin which ensnares us. And let us run with what? Endurance, that race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author. The author, the originator, amen, and the finisher or the perfecter of our faith, endured the cross for us, and now is at the right hand of God the Father. But we look at that, the race of faith, and remember we talked some time back, and faith comes up a lot in the Christian walk, doesn't it? That's the main crux. That's the foundational stone of besides being, you know, built upon the stone of Christ, but the stone of our relationship develops out of faith. You've got to develop and grow and nurture and have faith. Let that faith see you through. Let that faith keep you on that path. Keep on that course that God has. Remember when it says stay the course through opposition, through criticism and things like that. Those are the times that you're going to need what to help you get through that? Faith. Believing and knowing what God has done. Run that endurance, the race that's set before you. We find in Acts 5. Acts 5. Peter and some other disciples in Acts 5. You know, they were charged now. And we went through the beginning of Acts just lost my train of thought. Holy Spirit. Gosh, I lost what do we call that when we honor the Holy Spirit? Pentecost. It's like I picked up on that as I was heading down to Chicago yesterday. I turned on a station that was focused on the family, and they were going through some things. And then the guy kind of ended talking about one of the, and I don't know when this was taped, but he was saying that, you know, one of the things that's so powerful in the Christian life and that a lot of churches do not reveal or bring up are like, you know, we do a Christmas thing, we do an Easter thing. And he says the one thing that a lot of churches don't get into or bring before the forefront of how powerful it is Pentecost. And celebrating that on that Sunday. And this past one, we did better than probably the past 9 years of Pentecost because the Lord was speaking to me or kind of showing me like, man, that is important, talking about the Holy Spirit, you know? And we just kind of poo-hooed along and say, well, today is Pentecost. It's the 50 days. It's this, it's that. And now the Spirit came down in Acts, and we can read Acts 1 and 2 and find all that. And then we go on. But that's a very powerful juncture of time within the Christian church. But in Acts 5, we find that in 12, what do we find here? Well, let's see, 5:12, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done, and yet none, and it goes on, and then they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch, yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly, and the believers were increasingly added to the Lord, so they're really doing a great service to the kingdom. Multitudes of both men and women, and so that they brought the sick out into the streets, they laid them on the beds and the couches, and at least the shadow, and that at least the shadow of Peter passing by would fall on some of them. My. And also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities in Jerusalem, bringing the sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they too were what? All healed. A lot of that is just by Peter, just walking. When you're on the course with God, when you're fulfilling what God has asked you to do, even your shadow, everybody say shadow. Only the shadow knows. But the shadow can possess the power, not the shadow itself, but what God works through and uses. And he can sit there and say, Tim, you know, just walk by these people and just the light or the shadow that you cast upon them, I will heal them. Now, he's never told me that, but I believe that could happen. I believe that could happen with each and every one of you here today, that if the Lord did that through your life and gave you that to follow and to do, that could very well happen. I mean, I find it increasingly powerful just to think that you can go up to someone and just lay hands on them and pray for them, and there's that power of God just moves into that person's life and touches their body. I find it exciting to know that I don't even need to go up to that person and lay hands on them, that I can just stand here and say, Lord, heal! If the Lord gives you that unction to just go and say, the Lord will heal you in Jesus' name. The Lord will take that pain away. This past Friday, I don't know, I got to keep my faith going. Had a lady come into the pantry. How's it going? Oh, I just need to get my house sold. She goes, it's an older house. It needs work. I understand that. We tell them that in the thing and the listing and all. But these people come out and they go, oh, man, this house, it needs a lot of work. Oh, this house, it's too close to this one main road. She goes, it's all in the thing. They already know that. Yeah, it's almost like they got to tell me that. Like, I don't know. Hey, I've lived here for how many years? I know it's right by this highway. Oh, this house doesn't have enough trees. Ay, ay, ay. Her eyes go up in her head. And she goes, and nobody makes an offer. We say, make an offer. Okay, we got this price, but make an offer. Maybe we'll take it. I could just tell she was just like exasperated. She's like, she's been trying to sell this for several months now. Coming out the pantry and talking to her about it. And I know where it's at, and I told her, I said, well, you know, I go by there, and I just like, I need to be more efficient at doing this. I need to, you know, put the Lord on it. Let the Lord be her real estate agent. But I said, okay, called her by name, and I said, let's just pray that your house sells. Now, I've never really, I don't know, I might have prayed without in the last several months that way, but just to really say, okay, Lord, in my spirit, I felt she needs to see your hand move in her life. She probably doesn't go to a church. But I said, she needs to see your hand, Lord. I'm thinking to myself. And I'm not saying this to say, okay, Lord, because I've prayed, have this happen so she can get to like, ooh, boy, this guy prayed and look what happened. Because all the glory goes to God. But we just prayed with her at that table. And I just said, Lord, sell that house. Bring the person along. Give her the price that's good that she needs, you know, whatever it is. I don't even know what the price of it is. But I just have to lay it before the Lord. Now what I've got to do is I've got to continually kind of stay in that realm with that, I think. I got to continually confess, thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayers. Thank you, Lord, for selling that. You know, I told her, I said, hey, I'm looking forward next month when you come back, that place is sold. I said, hey, don't be surprised if I drive by there. I said, I'm not going to be surprised if this next week or so I see a sold sign on it. Now, if it doesn't, I'm not going to lose faith. But I don't know why the Lord tells you to say these things, because you almost don't want to get that far into it. But then I've got to disconnect from it and say, okay, Lord, if it doesn't happen, she's not going to look at me. You know, I'm throwing it out there and I'm hoping I'm hearing from you, but I'm just proclaiming these things for this person so that they have an answer to prayer that they need. And I don't know, maybe she's never even talked to you before, Lord, but that's okay. I talk to you, and I'm a child of yours, and I just know what this person's going through, and I just want you to bless them and help them and show them the power of you, Lord. I don't know if it'll happen, but I'm going to thank him that it's already happened. It may not be this week or next week, because I don't know. I just want people to see the power of God. Not in a way to boast about Harvester's Church. Not a way to boast about Tim. Not a way to boast about anything about me. Because it's not about me. It's about my God. Is it about your God too? It's about Him getting the glory. It's about Him moving into people's lives. All I need to do is I personally need to stay on course with God to fulfill what He has for me to do, and to be receptive by the hearing of the Holy Spirit into my spirit, to be able to be willing to kind of sometimes throw that out there, not willy-nilly, not just to throw it out there to say, hey, I want to make a show here, but there's times when the Spirit of the Lord puts something in you to where you just say, Lord, I just believe this is going to happen. There's people I've heard and talked to this week that need a touch of the Lord. And I don't know how it's going to work, but they just need to have the Lord heal them in physical things. I had a marriage counseling out here yesterday, and I had a message on the machine out here of someone asking if just someone from the church could possibly just stop in and pray with this person and all, just to touch base with them. And so I called the number they gave me, and right now it's not probably a doable thing with what's going on, and it's just one of these things. I said, I don't want to interfere. I don't want to overstep my bounds, but you know, the message was left at the church, and I'm just calling right now to say I will be there for whatever I can do for you. I said, if you need to call me at 10 o'clock at night, 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever you do, whatever you need, I said, I just want to be a help and a support to you. Now, if that person calls at 2:30 in the morning, guess what? He remembered. He or she remembered. And now I've got to be faithful to my word. I can't go, oh man, it's raining outside, or if it's the wintertime, oh, it just snowed and I've got to dig out of snow. No. When you speak and when you put yourself out there saying, I want to help you only because of God. You know, I want to serve you. I want to do what I can do. When that call comes, if it does, I need to be faithful to go. I need to stay the course. I need to say, that's what you said, and that's what you said, and you got to be a man or a woman of your word when you, especially serving God. Amen. But see, I'm saying there's people hurting out there. There's people needing prayer out there. There's people going to call you. You may not have a total connect with them, but they're going to know you from somebody to somebody, and they're going to say, I heard you through my brother who said you go to church and that you pray, and would you pray for this situation that I'm aware of right now or that I'm going through? I need prayer. There's nowhere else I can go. And you've got to sit there and say, I'll pray with you. I'll lift that up. Let's just pray that the Lord's will be accomplished in that and that God gets the glory, you know, salvation and whatever comes out of it. And, you know, you're being led by the Spirit as you go into that area. But it's staying that course of what God has you to do in your life, being willing to go out there. You know, sometimes you put yourself out on a limb. Anybody been out there before? And after you say it, you go, oh boy, Lord. Ooh. But you look at what, even in Acts, and how they stayed the course of what was instructed for them to do. It even got to the point, we didn't even get all the way through that, but they ended up what? They were healing and all that, and then the high priest rose up against them, and they ended up putting them in jail. It says there in 18, and they laid their hands on these apostles, and they put them in the common prison. Oh boy, how many times have you gone through a problem where you feel like you've just been put in prison? Maybe not physically put in prison, but you've gone through something for the kingdom. You've done something for the Lord. Something's come against you, criticism, an obstacle, or whatever. May not be a physical prison you've been put in. Something happens because of your stand for the things of God. And you got a choice whether to stay the course and see it through or to buckle under and say, I deny it. I think I shared last week, didn't I? About a gentleman at one of our pastor's things to where he was told that he needed to either deny what God did for him or he would face probably disciplinary actions and possible prison. Did I share that last week? Was it in prayer that I did maybe on Wednesday? That's, I keep telling you guys these things because I hear it and then I share it like on Wednesday and I feel like I've shared it with everybody. But this is a situation where a gentleman pastor, not raised, and I think I told him in prayer that atheist and all came out of that. His family is still atheist. He came through. God got a hold of him. Militarily, he was overseas doing something with special forces and ended up receiving Christ through some situation with the chaplain and things taking place because all the gunk that he saw because of being in special forces, he was required to go in to extract people from situations that were hurt, maimed, injured. And while it was still hostile, they had to go in and take them out of those situations. And he said, I just saw so much. He said, there has to be something more than this. And then God got a hold of him, works him through all this, comes back. This is really powerful. He comes back after that and goes temporarily on duty down here, and they bring him into a southern state for additional training for underwater scuba diving and all, for a situation they were going to be sending his detachment to somewhere in China or Japan Sea or something. So he comes back for training in down south in Florida, Pensacola, Florida. He comes back to that. Now he's at that base. He's got God in his life now that he received overseas. He comes back to that, and that's back at the time of the revival there. Was that in Pensacola? Yeah, it's right there in Pensacola. The Assembly of God Church in Pensacola was having that revival of just God showing up, changing lives. So he goes into that and receives that, and while he's there doing his training, he gets, you know, taught on all that and kind of like learning these things. So anyway, now he goes back, and now he's given a message at a chaplain at this base, asking him to share something. So he stands up and shares some situations. And what he shared is how God delivered him from some things. Well, what had happened is, as he looked back in his records and all that, did not have any of that in his records. And so he said a few days after he made this testimony and declaration at this chapel thing, he got called into the commander's office. He said, I got the message to come in my dress blues to go to the commander. Commander says, you said this before people. We don't see that in your record. That's a lie. You need to either denounce it or, because I'm not going to go into whole details of why he would be put to prison, but he would have to serve time in prison because of it. He said, I sat there and he said, I can't deny it. God did this in my life. And so he was going to possibly be discharged, unhonorable and dishonorable discharge, serve some time in Leavenworth. It just worked through the whole process, but God is faithful. He did not get a dishonorable discharge. He got honorable. He had to serve some time, but it wasn't very, you know, just God worked. But here's a person, here's a man that had to do what? Stay the course. He had to stay on what he said God did in his life. Would any of you here today, if you stood before people and said what God did in your life, and then authorities came to you and said, we don't want you sharing those things, kind of like what was taking place here in Acts, huh? Don't do those things. You're riling up people. You're getting them hooked up into the gospel. You're hooking them up to Christ, into his kingdom. We don't want that. Stop doing it or we're going to throw you in jail. Well, with Peter and what they did here, they ended up putting him in jail, didn't they? Let's see here. But then we go on and you read that at night the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors, brought them out, and we know there's a good outcome to it. Isn't that exciting to know when you stay the course, when you do what God has asked you to do, you might be thrown in prison, you might be whatever the case might be, but the Lord is faithful and he will bring you out of it and put you back into even a higher place, possibly. Why is that? Because you were faithful to God. You were faithful to what he said to do or whatever he asked you to follow on that path, and you did not buckle under by society. We have churches buckling under to society. We have pastors buckling under society's demands of what they want out of a church or what they don't want out of a church. Make the church happy to tell about all the good things, but don't say anything against the moralities or the things that are taking place in our country, because that's not a good message. Well, that's the message that God wants us to share, because it's the message that is close to his heart, that we've got to share the truth. You cannot share lies or just push it aside saying, well, yeah, those are things that he's against, but we don't want to bring those up. You got to stay the course. Every one of us is charged with something in the kingdom of God, whether you're a pastor or whether you're sitting out there, that we are all ministers of what? The gospel. And you're either for the gospel as it is in the completeness of it, or you're not. And if you are for the gospel and the completeness of what it states, you're going to have opposition. You're going to have people criticize you. You're going to have obstacles placed before you. And it's up to you whether you say, I'm not wavering. I am not wavering. I'm going to stay the course of what God has placed me upon. The area, and quickly wrapping this up here, the very first area of the Word of God that we find that someone did not stay the course, Adam, back in Genesis 2, And we know that. You know, God gave him specific orders, didn't he? Eat of any of the trees but this tree. And from then on, he didn't stay that course. So we know that if you don't stay the course of what God says, there could be some things that come against you. There could be things that God says, okay, you've brought this on yourself. I did not put this on you. You entered into that because of not staying the course that I've asked you to do. We find that in the Bible, and we look at it today, as the disciple of we as our disciples or followers of is who? Jesus. And what did he do? He stayed the course, and he was fulfilling all that God had wanted to fulfill through him. We find in Luke 22 where the prayer in the garden prior to his rest, Lord, take this from me. Take this. He was human. He felt it. Lord, take this from me, but not my will, but what? Your will be done. So we find that Jesus, our Lord, the Son of God, as an example, staying the course that God had for him to do. We find that in Luke, the prayer in the garden. Do the will of God. That's what Jesus said in John 6:38. Let's look at that real quick. John 6:38. In John 6:38, so he says here, 35. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. 37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that all that of all he has given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up to the last day. And it goes on, and it's talking, but it's saying this where Jesus is saying that the will of the Father needs to work through your life. Are you willing to allow the will of God to work through your life? Are you willing to stay that path, that course, stay on that so that it's fulfilled? And 8:28-29, John 8, it says, Jesus states that he doesn't do anything of himself but what his Father taught him or shows him. We as the same, and as I maybe shared with that lady on Friday, and we share some things with people that we come across when you really feel it in your spirit, and all of a sudden it's like, why did I say that? Sometimes it's not me saying that. It's that connection to God where he sees, okay, Tim, or okay, Bob, or Sue, or Bill, or whoever. I see what you're doing, and you speak this to that person. You've got to hit and stay on that path. You've got to stay on the course that God has you so that he can continually share these things into you so that you can be his witness in this place today of where we're at, so people do see a difference here. That a little bit of heaven comes down in this place of hell, you know, of what's going on. And that people have hope. They see some things positive. They see that there's help there. Where does my help come from? Whew, my help comes. Yeah, so does yours. But it's not what I do. It's what I follow or see, what my Father, like Jesus said. It's, okay, Lord, what can I say in this situation? In the spirit, all of a sudden, you sense, okay, say this. Okay, I'm going to say this. Today, we need to be on that same path of speaking, of staying the course that God has set us on. 2 Timothy 4:7. In wrapping it up, 2 Timothy. We all know that, but 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul. Talking about this. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Sounds like somebody that stayed on course. Sounds like somebody that said, hey, there's some trials and situations I went through, but I fought a good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on the day, and not to me only, but also to all. Woo! But also to all who have loved his appearing. It's waiting there for all of us. Encourage you to run that race, to run that path, whatever it might be. And don't give up. Don't be discouraged, be encouraged. Sometimes when you're discouraged, you know, hey, turn it into an encouragement real quick. Just dist it. Get that dis off of it and put en on it, encouraged. Be encouraged that because out of that, we always find that that's when the Lord works the best, or we really see the hand of God is when we see those discouragements come along our path, that we see Him come in and takes the situation from us as we surrender it to Him and say, Lord, I'm just doing what You've asked me to do. I'm just representing You, Father, and it's totally up to You on what You want to do in this situation. But I give You the honor and the glory. I ask You for Your will to be accomplished. I want You, Lord, into my life, into this person's life, into our church's life. I want to fulfill what You have for us corporately, individually, one-on-one, whatever it is. Because, Lord, I just want to be found faithful. I want to be found on that path that You've set my feet upon and to be an encourager. And is God an encourager? Yes, He is. Ooh-ee. Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You for this day, and thank You, Father, for all that You're doing. Father, You are accomplishing so much. You are doing so much in the spiritual realm that we don't even see it here, Lord. There's movements of You taking place around this world. There's things even in our land of America that You're moving and doing, Father, in groups, in churches. And Father, it's going to continue to grow and continue to fulfill what You want it to. Because, Lord, everything that You want to fulfill will come about. You will bring it about, Lord God. And, Lord, if You can't find us doing it, You'll find somebody else that'll take our place. You're going to find people that are hungry for You, that are going to be wanting to serve You, that will stay on the course that You have them on, and they will not waver. They will not slumber. They will not get weak. They will not change the course. They will just say, Lord, I'm going all the way with You. You're going to see me through this. Whether it's a health situation, a job situation, a family situation, money, my spiritual relationship, whatever it might be, Lord, I'm going to stay the course and I'm going to come through it and I'm going to come out better than when I went in. Praise You, Father God. Hallelujah.